Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
As we're well into a sixth anthropogenic extinction, we're well into it. And some people say we're just beginning. But if you look at, it's an exponential direction that we're going in. So that leaves us, as I've discussed with Brother Joel, and my alias is Brother Thomas. I've been a doubter all my life, but no longer. That I have a cause for life that's greater than life, and that is to expose this climate engineering catastrophe that we face. Well, have I talked to in the 4 years since I've learned about climate engineering, how many people say that, well, it's just cloud seeding, or they say, you see cobweb skies, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just condensation trails. It's not real. But yet, in New York Times and other mainstream media, it's said that, well, if things get really bad, we may need to take this proposal seriously to engineer the climate, when in reality, it's been going on for 70 years. And when it first began, it was a little bit more open to the public. But as its power became more potent by the powers that be, the so-called dark shadows or the shadow government, it became more hidden because it became a means to control people without their knowing it. So what could be more challenging on a global basis than a technology that's killing us and we're doing nothing about it? So I introduced this dimming documentary by Dane Wigington and team, which is chock full of credentialed people. And want to take a look at the scientist like Mr. Dietrich from Germany, who is director of the Sophia Institute, a man very aware of the minute and molecular things happening that affect our health. So, for example, he talks about aluminum, how highly reactive it is, like plaque in our bodies. It's not in its elemental state. It's very reactive. So it'll latch onto anything like plaque in our bodies. So when it comes to Alzheimer's, when it comes to autism, autism, part of that very much from vaccines that's been peer-reviewed, and Alzheimer's. Well, when we're breathing in aluminum, yes, other factors, I'm sure the fatty content of our diet have an impact on Alzheimer's. But in the end, the nanoparticles that can get in our bloodstream and pass through our blood-brain barrier have a massive impact on our ability to think. So as some people get by without Alzheimer's, there's less and less. So nobody really knows what the secret is, other than the fact that the correlation is super high. Now, in the last few blogs, I've been discussing the biblical and mostly New Testament background from Brian Shohavik. And Brian has brought forward many passages that, since he agrees that the climate is getting too hot and that we're heading towards hell and high water, and since he has a deep understanding of the greatest depths of despair and how to get out of the rut as he once tried to commit suicide, he's doing strong. He's done well for himself after that event. And just a reminder, what attracted me to this story was that Brian had committed suicide and miraculously survived from driving his truck through a telephone pole, which busted in pieces, and then he did a triple cartwheel when he hit a culvert. But I think I neglected to mention how there's something humorous about all this. Well, he survived. His engine was in the passenger seat, so somehow he walked out of this. But it just so happens the town he, the establishment across the street from where he hit the pole was called the Crash Inn. Kind of a coincidence. And the town that he tried to commit suicide in was the town called Freedom. So it seems that when we say the sum of all parts is, or the sum of the whole is equal to the sum of the parts, something's wrong here. And that's what Brian found out. The sum of the whole is more than the sum of the parts, is what I'm trying to say. There's something beyond life, something beyond understanding that Brian learned from this miracle that God is out there. And it took him a while to establish his life. He fell back into his old habits of smoking pot and whatnot, but he converted to Christ at one point, you know, upon reading the Bible and reading the New Testament. He was awoken. So whatever our path, whether it's the slow awakening like myself or something really dramatic like the author Eckhart Tolle or Ryan Shohavi. And again, we do it in different ways. With Eckhart Tolle, it was not necessarily the Bible per se, but this author is a very learned man with this world best-selling book called The Power of Now. But I find it interesting to look at how all these people relate to this extinction process that we're going in. Are we going to survive the next few years? Are we going to get through this decade? And are we going to be willfully blind and just assume life goes on and we're talking about 2080 and 20, you know, going way, or I should say 2180. You know, how far beyond some people just look that we can carry on and conduct ourselves the way we have been, you know, indefinitely. But as has been said in a famous quote, upon the conduct of each depends the fate of all. And that's from Alexander the Great. And that's quite a quote. And yes, he was quite the warrior. You can call him a ruthless man. But that quote says everything, doesn't it? Upon the conduct of each depends the fate of all. And that's what I like about this challenge with climate engineering, where Mr. Dane Wigington, who's founded the website and who's written the encyclopedia on climate engineering and who directed this documentary, The Dimming, you know, he keeps saying that time and time again. We can't wait for some God to come and save us, or it's just in God's hands, and then turn around and look the other way. The gathering storm is here. We each have to face it, and it's an individual choice of how we face this storm. And it depends on each and all of us as to whether we survive, you know, as a whole. The greatest fear is that from our own doing, this miracle gem of life could fold into a lifeless hot ball of rock. That's a very harsh thing to say. But, okay, start with the worst, you know. As Eckhart Tolle has mentioned that, well, if we fail here and we don't get that level of consciousness we need, we don't have enough remnant of people to awaken us to the way we destroy the planet, then there will be other planets out in the universe, and hopefully the creatures on those planets will arrive at a level of consciousness and become wise stewards of the planet. But anyways, a lot has been going on the past couple of weeks, and I'll just explain a little bit about the efforts I've made with The Dimming. And I was planning, and maybe I can get to that, to get some biblical scripture to back, you know, my recent projects. But give me a moment as I had to hustle to get to the radio. My apologies for that. Okay, what I'm waiting for is a while back when I first heard about The Dimming, I was really inspired to do a banner that I could put in the front yard. And it hasn't come up yet, but what it is just my recognition that metal, ever since humanity learned to shape metal, mold metal, make a sword from it, make a bomb from it, make a building from metal, and at this point in time, make nanoparticles out of purified metal. In other words, aluminum is something that is bonded with other atoms. You know, it's a molecule, a big molecule mixed in with others. When you take it out, it becomes a very toxic, neurotoxic chemical. So I wish I could share this photo, but what I see is The Dimming title in the middle of the photo, and I see these beautiful, well, these birds flying in the sunset, big birds, they're blackbirds of sorts. And there's a kind of a lifeless tree, and the cobweb skies from, you know, the jets up high. So, and then the title is High Altitude Testing Conclusively Confirms Climate Engineering Contamination. So that's what The Dimming is all about. All the pieces were put together in this documentary of Dane's struggle to find a team, which he has done so successfully, whether they be brigadier generals of the Air Force or a geochemist, and the professional virologist, you know, speaking out on this documentary. On the side of the photo with the birds and the dead tree and the dimming trails, I have connect the dots, aerosols, vaccines. So here we go with the metals. Aluminum is in vaccines. It's not good for us. as a adjuvant, which means something to stimulate antibodies, it does that. However, how do you get rid of the aluminum? And what does this neurotoxin do when you inject it into babies? Because the whole history of autism very much follows. I think it's well beyond a correlation. It's a causal factor in autism. So if there's too much injection of these neurotoxins in the infant's body can't handle it, things change. And, you know, affecting the emotional state, the mind, the way we think. So the tragedies and the increasing rates, whether it's from the aerosols that we spray the toxins from or the injections we take with a jab, you know, autism, which was pretty much non-existent decades ago, maybe 5 or 6 decades ago, is now at a pace to be 1 out of 2. And again, this exponential world we're living in, we're curving, we're spiraling into extinction unless we rapidly awaken and change. And the good thing is, let's say within a year or two, there's enough people that are awake to take this dramatic action to stop geoengineering. Well, we're going to get a double catastrophic effect. The weather's not going to get any better in a way. And I was very pleased to have Dane Wigington answer my question on his Q&A session. I had asked, you know, when you take away all the jets that spray, what happens? And yes, there will be, a blowback. But unlike the geoengineers would have us think, they call it a complete disaster, so we have to continue injecting our skies just like a drug until we die, you know, until there's too much of a drug. So it's a formula for insanity, whereas this is where Dane's explanation comes in. The higher we climb up the ladder, the harder it is to fall. So the quicker we can make this tough choice to stop climate engineering, by tough choice, that means, you know, the tough job of convincing those afraid to come out and say it, that, you know, to get that critical mass where people start coming out of the woodwork and admitting we've got to stop this. Until we win that fight, you know, it's just going to get worse. We're higher up on the ladder. But we can take the fall. You know, if we don't keep going up the ladder, we'll be injured. A lot of people will die. I mean, there will be mega deaths regardless, because food is becoming short. And as Dane Wigington said in his last episode, Lebanon, I'm trying to remember, I hope I have the right, not Lebanon, but there's a country in the Middle East that now is like the canary in the coal mine. They are seriously starving. Yes, there's a history of starving nations, but there's just, it's lifeless. There's not enough to eat. And I guess it's what you could say a pure example, aside from all the other temporary droughts and things or political turmoil that causes starvation. This is purely an example of a whole country starving and just from bad environmental conditions, which create lack of food or which causes lack of food. So on the left side, connect the dots, aerosols, vaccines. Those are the two dots that I connect. On the right side of the photo of the dimming, I have jet sprayed aerosol dispersions, neurotoxins, aluminum, or neurotoxins such as aluminum. And of course, beyond that, there's strontium and other metals that are effective in different ways when they're combined with oxygen and other things. And then we have pathogens. That's another part. How is it then that this pandemic came about within 3-day periods? 3 days to 35 countries and 3 days to 85 countries. Now, whether that's accurate or not or exaggerated, the point of it is this pandemic spread so fast that how can people just getting off a plane from various locations on Earth create this just overwhelming increase of the pandemic? In other words, the people that were tested, even if the tests aren't that accurate, there was something, some unusual symptoms that were very consistent all throughout the globe. And there was the admission by China that, you know, this pandemic is real. And there's the fact that biolabs are real. There's the later articles that came out that indeed Dr. Fauci overruled objections of many, many scientists to do gain-of-function experiments with the coronavirus using the Wuhan lab in collaboration. It's deeply angering how these things get put aside and more or less censored, or, you know, somehow they show up in social, not social media per se, but in mainstream media, and they're there like a blip, and they're gone the next day. It's just, how do we not catch some of these articles? How does the public not? Again, it's all the political theater that stops us, these playing sides and this drama that's created from so many countless issues in politics and so much frustration with politicians. It's easier to point fingers at each other than it is to critically think and get things done. So I finish this poster, this banner, by saying that, yes, jet-sprayed aerosol dispersions, neurotoxins like aluminum, pathogens, other nanoparticles, and again, that's could be polymers, nanoparticles of polymers, which is plastic, which, you know, we ingest, it gets in the ocean, it prevents the proper photosynthesis of the phytoplankton when there's plastic all over the ocean from the nanoparticles and from our garbage. So also in vaccines, gain of function via biolabs. I wanted to make sure to mention that. So at the top of the photo, stop the dimming, culling, killing. Are you willing? And then I have a search magnifying glass, and I'm telling people to search the dimming. And I put that in a little rectangular box. And then I put the websites, geoengineeringwatch.org, Stop Geoengineering Minnesota, and the federal lawsuit of 2017. One of my goals at this time is, my goodness, I live in Minnesota, and yet it's Stop Geoengineering Minnesota that plays leadership in this cause. How can I not bring that to the attention of environmental groups, of, Women Against Military Madness, you know, nonprofit groups that are fighting for a good cause yet ignoring this issue. So recently I've gone to the legislature of the Climate Committee on the House of Representatives with this kind of message. But now that the documentary is out, I want to share a little bit about that letter that I did, and let's see if I can bring this up. There it is. So I wrote the following. I, at the header, Climate Engineering, Finance, and Policy Committee, your help is needed to overcome the worst and most imminent threat ever to face Mother Earth. Building local awareness of Minnesota's involvement in a 2017 federal lawsuit to disclose to the public accelerating climate engineering operations now taking place without our consent. The lawsuit, Freedom of Information Act. And I tell people, I write a red highlight, see highlight below for a credible source. And I wanted to, again, below is a highlight in red of the website, geoengineeringwatch.org, and search Rhode Island in that website. So there has been an effort by a state legislature to engage in discussion and actually outlaw some of the climate engineering going on in that state. And it's a very well put video where they've written in the resolution. It's a model to go on, that why not Minnesota doing the same thing, but going several steps further than this state did a few years ago. We now have so much more ammunition. So I just want to mention that. And I'm going to take a little break here. I will discuss some other things that I was thinking about, but I hear a little jingle jangle of my phone, so I'm going to make sure it stays charged, and we'll go from there. But the progress I made this week, other than writing the legislature, it's really satisfying to kind of set a goal. I have fact photo sheets, and I put a stickum on there with the dimming, and I explain that the documentary is about sampling the aerosol trails, and that the results confirm that these aerosol, these sprayed injections, are not condensation trails. And that's all I put. And then I refer people to the website so they can catch a glimpse of the dimming. And I put it on break tables so people will happen into it. And, you know, in their leisure time, the photo fact sheets are really well done. They grab your attention and they tell everything that I can't say with a rant. But the other way I'm doing this is I'll walk up to a truck driver and I'll start a little conversation of, hello, how's the weather, or whatever. And then I'll segue into the climate engineering topic. And I'll show them the fact photo sheet with my little yellow stickum paper on it, and just point out the dimming. I'll just mention that, you know, in the first few minutes, you'll understand what it's all about. And just kind of leave it to them to look into it. I try to keep it short so that when they're looking, they quickly understand the cobweb skies. They can see the photos. They quickly get a grasp of the satellite photos, that there's more to it than just jets, that there's also microwaves, the invisible power that I speak about in my theme, that microwaves can manipulate these bands or these cobwebs of cloud seeding materials. So I'm talking a little bit more scientific than I usually do, but it's a moral quest. You know, as Dane said, where is our honor, our morality, our virtue? How do we go through life, you know, following along those lines without getting overwhelmed, still having, you know, our time to enjoy, but our time to pursue what we need to pursue to mature and grow and leave something for the next generation and beyond. So continuing with the letter, I say it starts from the will of each of us to spread awareness to family, friends, local, state, nation, and global leaders to stop this planet from spinning out of control toward its death, not the other way around. And then I have in bold, please consider the impact of decades of climate engineering. Parentheses, cloud seeding, neurotoxic metals and chemicals, etc., in aerosols to control using microwave technology and manipulate the climate, end of parentheses. So the continuation of the bold is, and its patented applications. In other words, in bold, please consider the impact of decades of climate engineering and its patented applications. And then in italics, effectively halting more than any other form of technology short of nuclear cataclysm, Earth's ability to heal from damages done by human hands. To paraphrase Dane Wigington, director of geoengineeringwatch.org. And I mentioned the Rhode Island video. My name is Rob Christensen, lifelong Minnesota resident. Reluctantly, I am a significant contributor of hydrocarbon burning as commercial driver and supervisor, contracting service to the post office. I earned a master's degree from the U of M several years ago. At age 65, my life experiences led me to this fundamental question. As stewards of the planet, why has the human species become unjust stewards? And again, I'm using the Bible parable, the unjust steward, as I cited this in bold. Then I write and underline that the enclosed PhotoFact booklet will shed light. With this letter, I have a PhotoFact booklet from Dane Wigington's site. It's 20 pages, and it just shows everything about what this climate engineering. It just reveals the documents that prove it's a real thing. You know, 700-page document, international documents, international agreements, all kinds of patents, et cetera, et cetera. So how can we awaken the majority, we the people, to act on this number one priority to discuss, if not halt, climate engineering? A Hopi saying, we are who we are waiting for. And then in bold, this fundamental split, a war against ourselves and all life, is a tragic equation / origin story / culture that goes like this. True and false equals false and true. And on the false, I put the dollar sign, because if you look at it, what I'm trying, first of all, the equation, they cancel each other out. If something's half true, it's not true. It's that simple. It's the zero. So equals false and true. Zero equals zero. Because when you don't have complete truth, you have zero. And here's how I wrote it in words. True, abrupt heating of planet, and false, climate engineering is just a proposal. Equals false, abrupt heating of the planet is a hoax. And true, climate engineering is real. Thus, zero equals zero. Solution? Join in debate to transcend our differences to salvage what remains of any future. True, abrupt heating of the planet, and true, climate engineering is real, equals one complete truth. And I put a question mark by that. I don't want to impose this on people. It may sound so, but it's so true. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend. His nickname is Special K. And, you know, he's very nice, very loved by people. He's always makes himself, he's always happy and just being himself. So that attracts a lot of, he's a climate hoaxer to the hilt. He's, you know, on the political side, he might be with Mr. Trump or whoever. That really doesn't matter. But the point of it is whatever side of the political divide you're on, it's just so constant. Somebody like Special K will disagree on climate, that it's not that big a deal, and at the same time agree that, yes, climate engineering is very real and it's poisoning. It's not good. It's a government thing. And it's so frustrating that this political divide, this existential divide, is so deep, and it's breaking us up. Where is the, again, the solution? How can we join in debate, the cauldron of debate, to transcend these differences? And that's exactly what Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing now with this pandemic. He says, you know, the people that are getting rich off this pandemic don't want debate. They want to censor you, which they are doing on social media, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not tolerated. If you don't hijab, then you're bad. or if you don't question the jab, taking the jab, then, you know, you should be punished because you might be spreading the disease and so forth. And it's, well, where did the arguments, where did the debate go? You don't even have a chance to debate it. If you, you know, that's a constitutional right, that in the cauldron of debate, that's the only way, by protecting our free speech, can we actually come to decisions that are best for all of us, that are democratically chosen, not chosen by somebody at the top. And again, that's why I open my letter saying it starts with the will of each of us to spread awareness, you know, on up from family to local to state to nation, instead of letting Mr. Trump do all the work or Mr. Obama do all the work from the top down. You know, why put everything on our political leaders or so-called experts that are on the media and trust everything they say, and just, you know, if they're on our side, that's all we need to know, and those experts or that president or this politician will work bad for us, and all we have to do is work hard and play or go along to get along. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't fit with me at all these days, not in this emergency we now face. So I go to the next page. It's question and answer. Finger-pointing battle goes nowhere. Nature's fault? So, you know, I may sound a little condescending here, but it's true. This is what political debate says. So I'm just mimicking that debate. It's below zero here in Minnesota. You Democrats think it's getting too hot? Well, little domino to bigger, global temperatures are abruptly rising in recent decades. The ocean has taken most of the heat that we humans consume. Ionospheric heaters have the power to bend the jet stream, transferring heat to the poles and the cold to the latitudes below. Moisture-laden clouds can be steered, chemically seeded, to create regional low-altitude toxic cool-downs using patented processes of ice nucleation. And eastern USA is anomalously least warm 0.5% of the planet. So the whiplash effect of these applications masks reality and confines populations. So that's kind of long-winded, but I'm saying it all. It's so important to understand that heat doesn't just flow out into the universe. It does get trapped, and when it does get trapped, it gets transferred to the oceans, and the oceans get, over the years, have accumulated so much heat that the extinction has taken place in the ocean first, and we're next, and that's imminent, and it's happening now, not later. And then I say chemtrails, parentheses, discredited public term, credible scientific term, jet-sprayed aerosol dispersions. That's conspiracy theory. You Republicans think our leaders would do this to us? And then I quote William Casey, CIA director, 1981. We all know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. So, and this, I won't go on because I'm running out of time, and I wanted to get a little bit more of what Mr. Shilhavi has to say as to the biblical background to this. But I've created 11 references to back up everything I'm saying in this Q&A session. So, for example, number 4 is search keywords nature 2015 gain of function Fauci. Instead of writing the whole article, I just have people take those 5 words, tap them in the internet, and they'll get right to the article that states that Fauci million dollars to the Wuhan lab to study the coronavirus virus. I mean, that's glaring. I hope people ask questions when they see something like that, especially when it says over the objections of scientists. And then another one, number six, an international message of hope for humanity from RFK. So he gave a speech to 15 nations, which I consider a very historic speech, starting with the importance of how fear can rule a nation like Germany as it did in the past and convert a peaceable country into a maniac country. But it goes both ways. It's whether it's the communist side or the fascist side of things, both contribute to fascism. When you have fighting sides, people get lost in it, and those at the top take power. In addition, I had some sayings, and I won't go into that, but the National Institute of Health director basically concluded that, you know, this pandemic we're in, nature is the ultimate terrorist. And then I contrast that with Russell Means, the former director of AIMS, the American Indian Movement, who says, you know, the hemlock that we resolutely take in is, it's our own fault. The cracking branch we're on, it's when we point our fingers at the sun and the earth and give the sun and the earth the blame for all our problems, that's when we're resolutely drinking the hemlock that's, you know, creating this disaster, when we don't recognize that it's not nature, it's us. And finally, Ursula Le Guin, the fiction writer who's very thoughtful, creative, you know, simply states that capitalism's grow or die does not, its imperative goes directly against ecology's imperative of a limit and interdependence, that any society that thinks the two can, you know, work together will fail because they're opposite of each other and, you know, they don't reconcile with each other. I believe it's not to take down capitalism like an anarchy per se. In a way, maybe there is a way to create a new type of capitalism that is that works with life instead of fights against it or destroys it like all these nuclear tests and climate engineering does. So, you know, as Kennedy discusses, there's some positive incentives you can put in capitalism to get the wheels turning in a way that, you know, whatever we make, however we live, it's in line with our limits and interdependence. So that's a little long-winded. All right, let me get to Mr. Shafak, hey, and just give me a few moments. I came a little late today, so pardon the pause. I'll go to favorites, bookmarks, and then I think I've got it. Let's see if it comes up. There we go. All right. So the title, and let me expand so I can better see the window on the view. I'll enter the full screen. So here's Brian's writing. I wrote further into this when I talked about the American dream was always a lie. The path of Christ is a lonely, difficult one. So he writes a quote, "The myth of the American dream is now quickly falling apart as the globalists quickly move to completely destroy it. And we deserve it. Only by repenting of our sins and begging of God's mercy can anything positive arise from the ashes of what is about to come. But the truth is, this is how it has always been throughout human history. the way to God, the way to truth, to the life is a path of suffering, humiliation, and shame. It is the same path Jesus walked when he took on human form and came to live a human life within the flow of human history. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." And that's Matthew 16:24-27. It is a way that led to Jesus' own death, a necessary sacrificial death to save the world. We are now called to follow the same path, the narrow path, that may also lead to our physical death as we look to a better life that is yet to come. And I'll interrupt this because I'm sure you want to hear from me, not just my reading, but that was a very, those quotes from the Bible are so central to what I'm talking about today. But what comes to mind is Dane Wigington talked about Bill Gates and all his connections. He's the biggest farmer. He owns more land than anybody. He's GMO'd our species with his vaccines. He's working to do that. He's GMO'd crops. He supports Monsanto. And yet, you know, environmentalists will point the finger and protest companies like Monsanto. But Mr. Gates is big, big, big all the way. He can pose as an environmentalist that he's concerned about the size of the population and the warming of the planet. So he, you know, he wisely puts out something to be acceptable, and he'll turn down any media that has him as unacceptable. In other words, he owns media. So when you own this and own that, people are afraid of biting the hand that feeds them, and that's Bill Gates. His hand feeds so many people that people are afraid to bite him back because then they'll lose their 401k status or whatever. But it's just alarming. If you dig into Bill Gates and his foundation and all the things he contributes to, such as climate engineering, thinking recently about, hey, let's send up a few balloons in the air and pour out some sulfur in the sky to make like a volcano. You know, how absurd. He's talking about something new, a proposal. What a liar. You know, so I wrote to a friend and said, you know, in a text, I said, you know, Bill Gates is GMOing the world. And I said, in parentheses, Bill, gates of hell are wide open. And that's my point. It's so easy to fall into the Bill Gates trap. And, you know, vaccines are what we do. You know, where was Bill Gates? Instead of $10 billion for vaccines, why wasn't he making roads, helping to make small-scale farms, bridges, roads, sewage, electricity for people in Africa? Why was he vaccinating the heck out of them? Why was he upping the dosage many times, which resulted in countless injuries, including death? So the Bill Gates of hell are wide open. That's what I say. And the gate, the narrow gate, the one that's hard to get through, is to expose Bill Gates. Well, let me go on. Let's see what time we have here. I have to do some things very soon, but there's a little time. I really enjoy what Brian has to say. So those who truly know Christ and the truth are always a small minority, which brings us back to the scripture passage from Hebrews that I opened with this article. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But by my righteous, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. And you know, that's a problem I have. And let me plug in my phone before it dies here. Excuse me. The parable of the 100 sheep, where, you know, one goes astray and explores, and the Lord comes, or the shepherd comes back to save that sheep as the most valuable sheep of all. And it's hard to stray from the crowd. It's easier to seek approval of the crowd. In many ways, in my life, I'm finding it's so easy to go back to the fold. You know, some how often it is that, let's say there's a hockey game and I'm sitting in my truck just to sit back and listen to the game and worry about nothing else. Well, to some point that's fine. But if all I live for is to just work hard and, you know, go and have a beer and drink and play and do some fun things, well, where is the cause? You know, where, do I not owe to the greater whole? As Dane Wigington has said many times, we receive our life from the whole. We owe our lives to the whole. So if we owe our lives to the whole, why are we living in a way that's just for our own personal paradigm and not giving a hoot about anything beyond that? You know, to grow, mature, to find a better way for our children, to ensure that they have a good life, going beyond ourselves, you know, ourself, the way we're programmed into selfishness. That selfishness was so well put by, I always want to say Jay Cutler. I don't have his name right in front of me. But in the International Tribunal of Satanic Ritual and Child Trafficking, this man had gone through it all. You know, living from the old school of Satanism, where he was born into it at a secondary level, but yet been through the worst of abuse and had survived it all. And even after being electroshocked, where his memory was lost of these evil deeds that were done to him, he was able to recall enough to turn his life around and become a speaker to spread the news of the fact that, yes, Satan is ever present on this planet. And, you know, we have to have faith that, you know, not shrink back. In other words, we're not here to just play hard and have fun or go along to get along. You know, we have a major fight on our hands, and there's nothing to be afraid of because, you know, with faith and digging into our inner selves and our inner being, we have this power of forever. We have this power that, you know, we're always going to be here, and there's nothing to worry about. So we can take a hit or two and deal with it and embrace it and let it go. So I think that's very important. So, again, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39. Very few Americans know this kind of lifestyle. Judgment is upon this country, and most will probably shrink back and be destroyed. Over the past several years, I have published on Health Impact News. I have become convinced that the true remnant
who have counted the cost of following Christ, that many of them are not among us participating in Satan's world, participating in Satan's world system, nor sitting in the pews of the most white middle-class Christian churches. I think many of them are homeless, choosing rather to live on the streets than comply with the world system. Many are military veterans who wanted to serve their country and liberty, only to find out that this country is corrupt, and the horrible things they learned and observed that caused their PTSD just made them another consumer of Big Pharma's products like psych drugs. They had nowhere else to go, so some opted out and chose to live on the streets, homeless instead. I think a lot of the remnant in the U.S. today are sitting in prison, a lucrative business that incarcerates a larger percentage of our population than almost any other country on earth. Some of those sitting in prison are moms who lost their children to the system, medically kidnapped, and they were either too poor to afford the rich man's prescription drugs because they had no insurance, or they just were too smart to get caught up in Big Pharma's lies and slavery and turn to illegal drugs instead to soothe their pain, like a natural plant called cannabis with tremendous healthy qualities. But a threat to Big Pharma's patented drugs, so it is banned, and those who consume it and are caught now fill our prisons. Those who believe in and follow Jesus Christ after his first visit to earth were described like this. And let me just take a pause here. Yeah, I'll just end with this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Well, Brian Shilhavy was pretty foolish when you consider he tried to commit suicide. But he came out of it. God chose him. So God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And that is 1 Corinthians 1:26-29. So I could go on, but I'll save the best for last for next time. And I'll be on a weekly basis now. Brother Job, I thank you for your encouragement. It's going to be a lot more effective, I think, to get the weekly schedule on. But to be honest, this is normally my off week, and I kind of put it aside for a moment there. So jumbled as I may be at times, God bless you all. And that's the end of the blog for today. Look forward to you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Bye-bye.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.